Good morning and God's peace to all of you. I want to bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's good to see some of you visitors here. There's a couple special people in the audience that I'm really happy to see. My wife's aunt and uncle, Stan and Shirley. It's good to see you, and Ryan and Heidi, and all of you. It's good to be here with you. This morning, we have an interesting teaching from our Lord, from the 13th chapter of Matthew. This is a very, very powerful teaching of Jesus, and I think we're going to be blessed by it today. We'll read then from Matthew 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 9, and then we'll skip ahead to verses 18 through 23, and you'll see why. So we'll read from Matthew 13, beginning with verse 1. Would you please rise for the reading of the gospel? And we read in Jesus' name. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain. Some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Dear Lord, these are your words. We pray that you would sanctify us in the truth. Your word is everlasting truth. That you would prepare our hearts to receive your word. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. As I said, this is a very, very powerful teaching of Jesus. I'll give you a little context of this, because context is important to the understanding of the text. So, previous to this, our text begins by saying that same day. So the same day as what is the question that we would ask. And in chapter 12, Jesus, we learned that Jesus had just done a bunch of different things. It was the Sabbath day. Jesus had just been questioned by the Pharisees for his disciples eating on the Sabbath day. They were on their way to the synagogue, and the disciples were picking grain out of the field and eating it. And so the Pharisees are questioning, why are they doing this on the Sabbath? And Jesus, when they got to the synagogue, he had cast out a demon from a person. He had also healed a man who was in the synagogue who had a withered hand. Jesus healed him. And so he's being questioned for all these things he had done. And then the Pharisees even accused Jesus of casting out the demon in the man through Satan. They said it's through Beelzebub that he had cast out this demon. And then Jesus speaks to them and he tells them that this isn't through Satan, this is because the kingdom of God has come upon you. That's the reason. He said that this has happened. And that's why chapter 13, Jesus begins to teach. The same day, he had just gotten out of the house and gone out to the seaside, and he starts to teach them about the kingdom of God. And that's what the chapter 13 of Matthew is all about. It's about the kingdom of God. Because Jesus had just told them, the kingdom of God has come upon you. And this is called the parabolic discourse. Fancy way of saying that Jesus spoke many things in parables. He spoke 7 parables in chapter 13 of Matthew. And he gave 2 explanations of the parables. And we read the first parable and then one of his explanations. And so to kind of set the scene then, Jesus, he goes out of the house and he goes beside the sea, and there's a huge crowd of people that are gathered there. And so he goes out into a boat and sits down, and the whole crowd's standing on the beach. And so kind of a nice visual picture we get of this, that Jesus is there in the boat and the waves are probably lapping up onto the side of the boat. He's sitting down and he's speaking to the people. His voice carries over the water and the people are listening intently to the words of Jesus. And then he starts to preach and starts to teach them. It says many things in parables. And so the parable, he tells them, is a parable about a man who's a sower. So this is a guy who is sowing seeds. He's planting seeds. And that's kind of what the story is. It's a very simple story. And we might ask, why is Jesus speaking in parables? And the interesting thing is that Jesus, in many cases, Jesus is really smart. He knows, he's wise, and he knows how to do things, okay? So Jesus, he actually is teaching them in parables so that he would hide the truth from the wise. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus prayed to his Father, and he said, I thank you, Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and from the prudent, and you have revealed them to babies. That's what Jesus is doing here. He is making it so, like he says in John chapter 9, that so that those who see would be made blind. So before the Pharisees and through all these people who should know and who claim to have the right to teach God's word and they know the truth, Jesus is hiding the truth from them right before their very eyes. He is doing like Paul says in 1 Corinthians, that he's catching the wise in their own craftiness. So he's like beating them at their own game. And that's what Jesus does here, this marvelous thing. This is the wisdom. This is the wisdom of Jesus. He's able to teach them. He's able to teach the simple and those who are his followers, while at the same time hiding the truth from those who are false. And so this is the story. Basically, he goes and he says that this sower, he goes out to sow. And this is somebody who would just go with probably like a bag of seeds, and he's doing what they call broadcast seeding. He's just throwing it out. And so he's going and he's sowing these seeds. And as he's going, the seeds are going all over the place. Some of them are falling on the path, like where people walk. Some of them are they happen to land like right next to the, well, for the ones that fall on the path, they don't even have a chance to grow. The birds come and they start eating the seeds. We've all seen this happen in gardens and stuff. That's why we put scarecrows in our gardens and stuff to scare the birds away from stealing the seeds. Well, other ones of the seeds, they fall on like ground that's has rock underneath it, and they start to grow just a little bit. But what happens to those ones? Those ones, they don't really have a chance to grow down really deep. And when the sun comes out and starts beating down on the seed, on the little plant there, it dies. It gets scorched by the sun because it doesn't have any roots that were established to like draw up the water and everything and to survive. And then there's other ones of the seeds that fall in like the places where the weeds are growing. So the weeds, they grow up and they just kind of take over. They compete with the good plant, and they grow up so that they take all the moisture from the soil and all the nutrients and all the sunlight and everything, so that this seed that's supposed to be growing is choked out and it doesn't grow up all the way. I've seen this happen with corn in my own garden. When I plant it, and it's like you don't have time to weed it for a couple weeks, and that's all it takes. The corn, the weeds grow up, and pretty soon your corn is the same height as the weeds, and it's all done from there. You can weed it at that point. You pull all those weeds out, and that corn is stunted. It won't grow. It just doesn't give you the kind of fruit you're looking for. And so that's what's happening here. And then, of course, some of the seeds fall where they're supposed to, on the good ground. And they do bear fruit. And there's different amounts, you know, there's different amount, 100-fold, 60, 30, but the point is that they bear fruit. And so this is the story. It's a very basic story. It's easy for us to understand. We can all really relate to this. We can understand what Jesus is saying. And so then we get to the, and then after, I should say, after Jesus tells the story, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This tells us that God is the one who gives the understanding of his word. God has to give us ears to hear. And Jesus, he gives them the ears to hear. Because in verse 18, as we skip ahead, where Jesus is explaining this parable, he says, "Hear then the parable of the sower." He's giving the understanding. And this is what he does with his word. Jesus gives the understanding of his word. And then he tells us basically how it is. He says that this is how the word of the kingdom is. That's what he's talking about. The seed that's planted, that's the word of the kingdom. And he says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. That's the devil. And so we learn, and we heard in our scripture reading, right, from Isaiah 55, that the word of God, God sends it, and it does the thing that he wants it to do. That it's like the rain that comes from heaven, and that it accomplishes the thing that God sent it to do. But what Jesus is saying here is that, although that's true, the word doesn't go unopposed. There are things that are trying to hinder the word from growing. And Jesus is, he's bringing this to our attention. He's teaching us about this. And the first thing is the devil. The devil wants to come and rob it away as soon as it's sown. He's like that bird. It's just like he's coming to take it, like a seagull or something, if you've ever been to the beach. Like I was one time, sitting in my lawn chair eating a sandwich, and the seagull came and stole it right out of my hand. Couldn't believe it. But they're watching, and they're ready to pounce on any kind of little bit of food. And that's what the devil, he's like that. He's like a bird just waiting to steal away God's word and his promises out from our heart. And he's waiting to pounce on it. And so that is the number one, or the first thing that hinders the word from growing is if it would never even have a chance to germinate at all. The devil would steal it away. And before it can even sink into our hearts and create faith in our hearts. And then the second thing that Jesus says, he says, as for that which was sown on the rocky ground. So what is the rocky ground? He said, this is when you, the person hears the word and receives it immediately with joy. So it's like, right away, it's, yeah, this is true. You know, the word starts to grow. It's like this little plant. It's sprouted up. But then what happens? When the sun comes out and starts to beat down on the plant, the sun that's coming out beating on the plant is persecution. It's like when there's opposition that comes. And we just sang about it in the song, The God on the Mountain. That's kind of what that's about. You know, life is easy when you're up on the mountain. But talk comes easy when life's at its best. It's like, yeah, the word, when things are perfectly, the conditions are perfect, it's kind of easy that it would start to grow. It says, but it's down in the valley of trials and temptations. That's where faith is put to the test. So it's like when the heat is turned up, right? When the world and everything starts to be against you, that's where this thing is really tested. And that's where the word needs to have taken a firm root deep, deep down inside of us. And so that the word is firmly planted in us. You know, it's easy for us to hear the word and take it as like a good idea, right? Or like, if, for example, if we were to say that God provides for us, God will provide everything for us, you know, even financially or whatever we need, God will provide. It's easy to ascribe to that and say, yeah, that's true. But it's a whole nother thing when maybe you have like a foreclosure notice on your house that comes in the mail, or some kind of other thing that now this isn't an abstract idea, but now it needs to be a concrete reality in our lives that God will provide, that God is with us. You know, there are many examples throughout history of people who have suffered for the word of God. The first one that comes to my mind is Bonhoeffer. You know, he was a man who was, he was a doctor of theology. He had studied these things as an idea. Yeah, you go and you learn about God's word. But the time came where this was a reality. He had to give his life for the sake of the word. And so that word needed to be planted deep inside of him. And so that plant wouldn't die off when the persecution heated up for him. And so that, for each one of us, if the word isn't in us deeply, when persecution comes, that growth will wither away. And so, and also the disciples, they're a prime example of this. Jesus is teaching them, and they're receiving everything he's saying. But what did Jesus say in the end of Matthew, right before he was crucified? He said that tonight, all of you will be offended and fall away because of me. And that's exactly what happened. That this, they received it with joy for a while, but then they did eventually fall away. But of course we know God is also able to restore, and he restored them. And then there's other seeds that fall among the thorns. This is interesting because we learn that the word has competition. All these other things were kind of things that were outside, right? The persecution or the heat that's beating down on it, or the devil coming, the bird coming and stealing the seed. These are things that happen from the outside, but this is kind of an inside job, these thorns. These are things that grow within our heart, that they compete with the word. And they're trying to make it so the word won't grow. And what are those? Jesus says that they're the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. The cares of this world. When we think about it, what really does our worries and our cares, what do they accomplish? Nothing. They don't do anything. Worrying about things, it doesn't do anything, except maybe give you an ulcer in your stomach or something like that. But it doesn't accomplish anything good. And Jesus is telling us very clearly that this competes with God's word growing. And this isn't a good thing. This will make the word be unfruitful because we set all of our worries and fears and cares, those kind of get set against the promises of God's word, and they take away from the promises of God's word. And they make it so that it doesn't bear fruit. Jesus tells us very clearly in the Sermon on the Mount that we don't need to worry. He says, be anxious for nothing. Nothing in our lives is more powerful and more important than the word of God and the promises of God. You know, don't put your cares and your worries on that same level. And so, because when we do that, it's like you're sacrificing eternal certainties. Like God's word is eternal and it's certain. And you're sacrificing that for temporal or temporary uncertainties. You know, why would we do that? But yet that is what we do. And that's why Jesus is saying it. He's saying that this chokes out the word. And the other thing is the deceitfulness of riches. Money is a liar, really. It's a deceiver. It promises all sorts of things that it can't give to us. It promises that we'll be happy and we'll be secure. Our life will be secure and happy. And it can't really give it to us. Jesus said that you can't serve God and money. Like, it just can't be. These things don't go together. And this is a weed. Like, when you trust in riches, you're being deceived. And you're actually taking away from the promises of God. It's a weed, and the promises of God are supposed to be a fruitful plant. And so we're not supposed to trust in money at all. Paul says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And so, like, that's not where we place our trust at all. We have a tendency to say things like, you know, God has really blessed so-and-so if they have a lot of money. And so we equate God's blessings with riches. But this isn't what the Bible does. It's not, money doesn't equal the blessings of God, and poverty doesn't equal the punishment of God or the disfavor of God. That's not how it is at all. And when we do this, this is the deceitfulness of riches choking the word out. It's actually taking away from the promises of God, because now we're saying that the promises of God somehow are like related to money. And it's like, no, that's not true at all. God's blessings are totally apart from that and way above that. And so not what the thorns do, not only the thorns themselves don't give you any fruit, but they take away from the fruit of the word. And so that now you just have a garden full of useless things. When the deceitfulness of riches and the cares choke out the word. But now we get to the last soil, the good soil. Sometimes we think that the point of this whole parable is to basically identify different grounds, and so that we would say, well, okay, well, I guess I'm a stony ground, so that's who I am. or like we're all just assigned to some group of like stony or thorny or good or whatever like that, one of these four categories. But that's not the purpose of Jesus telling us this. He's telling us this because all of us at any time can have any one of these grounds in us. He's telling us this so that he will actually create good soil in us. That's his purpose. So that we'd be open and receptive to his word and his promises. There's an amazing thing that's happening here by Jesus telling this parable to us. It's something that in hermeneutics that it's called a performative utterance. That's what Jesus is doing. A performative utterance is something that it not only describes a reality, but it changes the reality it's describing. And I'll give you an example. Like, if I were to say to my kids in the wintertime or in the buggy summertime, hey, that door is open, what would that do? All I'm doing is describing something. I'm telling them the door is open. But chances are the door is going to get shut. You see how this works. Jesus is teaching us all the things that are hindering the word from growing in us. And in so doing, he's changing us. He's identifying the things in us that are wrong for his word to be able to take a root in us. By telling us about the bird that comes and steals the word out from us, from our heart, he has now caused us to pray, oh God, I hope that's not happening in me. Chase that devil away so he doesn't take your word out of my heart. And so he has caused us to pray. And so we would know that there is an enemy, there is a devil, and this hinders the word so that it wouldn't grow. By him telling us about the stony ground, he has brought us to the understanding that his word, it's necessary for his word to grow deep in us so that when the time of testing comes, when the heat and the sun beats down, that his word would be firmly planted within us. By him telling us about all the weeds, the cares of this life, and the deceitfulness of riches, he's exposed in us all the weeds and it caused them to be pulled out from our heart. And so now, Jesus, by telling us about all these different kinds of soil, Jesus has now created good soil. And so that his word now has a place to grow in each of us. Jesus is amazing. And like I said, he's wise. He's very wise. He is wisdom itself. He's the embodiment of wisdom. Jesus Christ, Paul says, is made to be for us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification, redemption. He is our all in all. And so now the word can grow. The word can grow in us. And the amazing thing about it is the word, it not only grows, but it makes more seeds. And like we heard in Isaiah, that it would give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So it's for our food, but it's also or so we would have seeds to sow. And so we go forth and we sow these seeds. And this cycle repeats. God's word would continue to grow. It would grow in our heart. We would sow it, and it would grow in other people. And we can go and we can, like we sing in the opening hymn, that we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. That God's word would be very, very fruitful. It would grow and it would be 100-fold or 60 or 30-fold many times over. And this is the marvelous nature of God's word. God does all these things. He does all of this in each one of us by his word. We come to hear his word week after week. God is doing this in us. He's planting his seed. He's planting it inside of us. And his word changes us. His word transforms us. We are changed into the image of Jesus Christ because Jesus is the word. And so this is the word himself is planting his seed in our hearts. This is a marvelous thing. And so now I just encourage you that take this to heart, this word, and plant it. Go and sow this seed. God be praised for his word and for his promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we are so